Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and it's Thursday, which means it is Author of the Week time, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And our author today is Bethany Mandel. The book is Stolen Youth, How Radicals Are Erasing Innocence and Indoctrinating a Generation. And I must admit, I saw you on an interview on one of the networks or read an article, Daily Wire, perhaps, and this resonated with me for a number of reasons, and appreciate you coming on this morning. One of the reasons, and I'm going to lay this groundwork and ask you what made you write the book. But aside from the motivations with all of this pushing and indoctrinating, is the fact that it doesn't work. I see that all of these areas that those who push much of the agenda, they say, well, we do it in order to help in this area or to bring people together in this area. Yet it just makes things worse. And I it just drives me nuts because it isn't making things better. And it is the erasing of innocence. And it was that phrase in particular in your title that really resonated with me. And thank you again for being with us. And if you would tell us a bit about the idea behind the book and what made you decide to write it.
Yeah, thank you so much. So the idea is basically, you know, this push towards equity that sort of woke revolutionaries are trying to promote is not possible. So it's not going to work in that it's, you know, the idea that real communism has never been tried before.
Yeah, right.
Things will never be equal, and things will never be totally just, and things will never be totally fair. And, you know, that's what I was told as a kid. Life isn't fair. But there was apparently a lot of children who were not told that as kids, or a lot of adults who were not told that as kids. And so we saw this, this attempt to equalize everything, really harmfully impacting our children in a lot of different ways. And so this sort of cultural revolution that is being attempted is happening from a lot of circles. And, you know, I think that conservatives are paying a lot of attention to the indoctrination that's happening in schools. The idea that, you know, there is no such thing as a man, there is no such thing as a woman. You can't just not be racist anymore. You have to be anti-racist. And a lot of extremist positions are found within those positions. But we noticed that it was sort of coming at our kids from all sides. It wasn't just schools. It's books. It's movies. It's even happening in their pediatrician's offices and in therapist's office. And those are some of the places where it's sort of the most dangerous. And so we wanted to sort of write a book that, you know, there's a lot of attention being paid to how this woke revolution is remaking corporate America and college campuses. And all of those are really important sort of deep dives. But we saw it really aggressively coming for children. And we wanted to write a book that that really laid out for parents, like, this is the enemy, and this is what you're fighting against. And also arm parents with the tools to sort of fight back against this forced indoctrination that's coming from, you know, all sides.
Well, and I want to ask you about those tools here in a moment. And this is really topical right now. We have school board elections coming up in a few weeks. And we, like a lot of areas of the country, had an awakening locally in Springfield in particular. And there was one parent and citizen that is just real laser focused on actual education for the kids, and it has been a rough ride in the last round of elections. It was clear that there's a movement at foot, and some of the elites, if you will, were voted off the school board. One is a local professor at a university, and there were some citizens that got on there. And once again, we're facing that. We've got somebody that was a former Black Lives Matter pushing in the schools individual. We've got somebody who is also at one of the universities. And recently, there was an event where they bust kids, primarily kids of color, from the school to the university, and we're pushing racial trauma. And at one point, I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but just so you know what we're dealing with, the so-called expert had all of the kids close their eyes and said, how many of you have experienced racial trauma? And a school board member was there, the one who's focused on education, and she noticed that about 1 out of 5 kids raised their hand. They were told to open their eyes, and then the expert noted that the reason she knows that racial trauma is real here is because every single one of you students raised your hand. Well, it was a lie. Mm-hmm. Well, the school board member who pointed the truth out is under attack by the university, the NAACP, the school, some of the other school board members. And I think a lot of parents, they see that and they think, I mean, if it's so blatant and they are so unapologetic in attacking those who just want kids to actually learn in a meaningful way, what tools do we have? And what is it that parents can do in order to combat this damage that is being done to the kids?
Yeah, so I mean, what you just described is truly like the definition of an emperor's new clothes moment. And I think that people across the country are having those moments, of this doesn't seem right. My kid is coming home with, a gingerbread person homework from their health class. And I don't think that they're reading on grade level, and I don't think that they're doing math on grade level. And that's, you know, for every minute that is spent on equity and inclusion and sort of racial trauma and all of these things that really don't exist and are not sort of possible and are not certainly within the realm of what schools should be focusing on with other people's children. For every minute that's focused on that, they're not spending that time on actual academic subjects. And so, you know, individual parents should do basically what you just described and call it out and say, the emperor has no clothes. Like, 4 out of 5 hands were not raised, and be very emphatic in their defense of the people who are willing to say the emperor has no clothes. Back that person up publicly, because they're putting themselves out there, and they should feel the support of their community. And then also sort of, you know, when your kid does come home with a gingerbread person homework, which is a real thing, in which they're told that, you know, your gender is in your brain and not in your biology. Talk to other parents in the classroom who, you know, share a classroom with your children and talk to school administrators and try to get it out. Like, they are your children. And I think that at the end of the day, people are afraid of coming off as racist or bigoted, and they don't want to be painted as such. And that's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling to feel like everybody's mad at you and everyone thinks that you're a bad person. But ultimately, our responsibility at the end of every day is to our children first and foremost. And I think that it's imperative for parents to keep their eye on that ball, to know that my kid is my priority and everything else is just noise.
We're talking with our author of the week, Bethany Mandel, Stolen Youth, How Radicals Are Erasing Innocence and Indoctrinating a Generation. We have, and I think a lot of the American population are familiar with certain dangerous components to this. We saw it in teacher instruction, mandated teacher instruction a couple of years ago, where they, you know, had to acknowledge that they understood Blue Lives Matter was racist. And if you are the victim of a crime and the perpetrator is a person of color and you call the police, you're inherently a racist. And these are areas that a lot of parents, they know that they're out there. When you were doing your research, did you find any, I don't know if I'd say more covert or insidious or other more subtle forms of this sort of indoctrination that parents should be on the alert for?
So I think the scariest chapter for me personally to write was actually there's two of them. One of them is sort of what's happening very secretly in children's literature, and it's been making the news a lot. So the publisher of Roald Dahl, for example, tried to alter his words posthumously, and Penguin came under fire for it, and because of the fire that they experienced, they backed off. And so, I mean, again, that's sort of one of the tools that parents should use when they're sort of trying to fight against this ideology on a more macro level. Like, on a micro level, you know, you talk to your school principal, but on a macro level, when you see things like this, reach out, to the publishers, for example, like tweet at them, send them a Facebook message, like deluge them with your opinion. Same is happening with Scholastic, with R.L. Stine's Goosebumps. So that to me was kind of scary, that it felt like a very 1984 moment, that we're changing the words of literature and banning literature. But the scariest thing sort of on a long-term basis was the medical chapter, how this ideology has woven its way into medical schools. And so you have to, you know, answer correctly on their essay questions about DEI in order to even gain admittance to medical schools. But then also, when you're in school, all of these classes are mandatory, and there are some classes like anatomy that are being made optional. And then sort of moving forward, in your medical in your pediatrician's medical practice, that first visit with your preteen or teenager in which they talk to your child without you present, they ask them, what is your gender identity? And, the secrecy that is involved at the pediatrician's office is frightening. And then also at school as well. I mean, sorry, you hear my baby in the background.
That's
but the
fine.
Secrecy aspect, the secrecy aspect is quite frightening, that a lot of things can happen without parents. Not even just consent, but knowledge. There was one scary story of a girl who started going by male pronouns, and her parents were only clued into their child's mental health crisis because she drew a picture that indicated she was suicidal. And it was only at that point that school administrators sort of alert her parents to the fact that she's going through some stuff. And there were warning signs in her gender identity confusion that that were brushed under the rug and hidden actively from her parents by school administrators. And so that sort of the medical aspect and the secrecy aspect are two of the most frightening.
It seems like such an obvious red flag to me. We all, I suppose, grew up in different eras, but the schools were a cultural place. So many of us were taught that you should never ever be expected to keep a secret from your parents. And
yes,
anyone,
yes,
whomever it is, no matter how trusted they are, if they ever tell you to keep something from your parents or that it's a secret between you and them, do not listen to them. And now that's the very thing. It's so scary. It's so scary.
Yeah.
So all of that being said, and a lot of parents feel as if, pop culture, you've got education, medical, in some instances, even churches are infiltrated with this. They think it's absolutely overwhelming. What's the hopeful line here? Where is that signal of hope?
So within the book, the last chapter is my co-author, Carol Markowitz, and I break it up, and she talks about sort of how to stay in the world, send your kids to public school, have them watching current movies and television shows and books, and sort of how to navigate this problem from within. And my perspective is that we go galt, to like sort of reference another great piece of literature, and just step out. My kid's favorite movie is Jumanji, that, was made in, I think, 1994. My kid's favorite actor is Robin Williams, who started Jumanji. And he was the star of many of their other favorite movies, like Mrs. Doubtfire. My kids watch movies that I grew up on, and it saves me the trouble of having to pre-screen things. But it also, these kinds of ideas were not present just a short time ago in 1994 and, the mid-90s. And also, the same with books. My kids are reading books my daughter's reading through the Nancy Drew series right now, and actually Roald Dahl, as, sort of ironic. But this is sort of, we're giving parents sort of ideas and tools to tackle this from multiple perspectives. But ultimately, the last word in the book is fight. And we have to fight for our kids. And fighting for our kids looks different for every single family. It looks different for my family. It looks different for my co-author's family. But ultimately, that's what we have to do. We have to fight for our kids.
Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Bethany Mandel. Stolen Youth, How Radicals Are Erasing Innocence and Indoctrinating a Generation, on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.